I've presided at 35 funerals since I've been here in Logan County. I think saying all those funerals gives an interesting perspective on life, you know, especially, you know, as we pray for the souls of the departed, you know, soon after their death, you know, writing homilies, reflecting on people's lives. And I found that it's really made a big impact on my own view of this life. It's given me, I think, greater clarity in terms of recognizing the mortality and how fragile life is, the mortality of each one of us, you know, and how quickly time goes by. You know, it won't be too terribly long before I myself am in one of those boxes, and each one of us as well. You know, time goes by quickly. But I want to focus on one line in particular from the committal service, which we say at the gravesite, you know, as we're burying someone's body. The prayer says, "Because God has chosen to call our brother or our sister to himself, we commit his body to the earth, for we are dust, and to dust we shall return." And that's also one of the two options that we have for distributing ashes on Ash Wednesday. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And it's a powerful reminder for us of how short our lives really are and how quickly time goes. I think as we reflect on this, there's a few things that I know that I've learned, and a few things that we can perhaps, a few things in terms of wisdom that we can pull from this. The first is humility. You know, our life is a gift, and we don't own our lives. You know, we can't create our own lives. We can't extend our own lives. Our lives are not ours. They're given to us by God, and we can make decisions as to how we use our time and the choices we make while we're here. But ultimately, you know, our earthly lives, they're in the hands of God. And I think people often think that our lives belong to us. We can do whatever we want. We can live however we want. And that's really an illusion. Because, you know, on the day that we leave this world, or, you know, if we face a serious illness or we face death, you know, we can see through that illusion pretty clearly. Our lives are not our own. You know, our lives come from God, and they're given to us to serve him, and one day we'll have to give an account for how we've spent our lives. You know, whether we've lived our lives selfishly, following every impulse or will that we want, or whether we've sought out our vocation. What is it that God is calling me to do in my life? And there's a fundamental difference between a life lived for ourselves and a life lived for God. But I think we can learn humility by reflecting on our mortality, and that, you know, our lives are for a purpose. We're here to serve and to love God. The second thing I think we can learn is the reality of judgment. That one day we'll have to render an account for each and every action or failure to act, every thought, every word that we've said or haven't said, you know, we'll one day be accountable for that. And God is merciful, as we hear in the first reading. If we truly repent, you know, the first reading says, "Return to me with your whole heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning." If we truly repent for our sins, with fasting, with weeping, and mourning, not just lip service, but true repentance, you know, God is merciful and he'll forgive us. But God is also demanding. You know, we hear in Scripture that much will be demanded from the one who's entrusted with much. And God is also just. You know, rewards have consequences. You know, eternal life in heaven for those who have served the Lord well, those who have lived faithfully to him, those who have lived lives where they've done works of mercy and works of charity. And also the eternal torment in the fires of hell is real for people who have lived selfishly, those people who have committed evil and wickedness in their lives. You know, God is just, and those realities are true. I think it's foolish to think that we can derive any true or lasting happiness from sin, because the reality is we can't. But if we kept this in mind, if we kept our mortality in mind, the reality is we would never sin. If we were thinking about our judgment and the fact that we'll one day stand before our Lord, you know, we would live lives of great holiness. You know, we wouldn't be lukewarm in our faith. We would there would be a zeal in our spiritual lives where we're thirsting for the sacrament of confession, where we're thirsting for the Eucharist, where we're coming to daily Mass when we have those opportunities, where we're looking for times of prayer, where we're doing works of charity and works of mercy when we have the opportunity. If we kept that in mind, the reality of judgment, we wouldn't be sinning. We would be striving for lives of great holiness. Who do we want to be on the day of our judgment when we stand before our Lord and we see him face to face? What do we want him to see? Do we want to have lived an honorable life of goodness and of faithfulness, or one that we'll be ashamed of? And the third lesson I think we can learn by reflecting on our mortality is temporal punishment. Even if our sins are forgiven, in many cases there's a residual punishment that we have to do. And we either have to do that punishment in this life or in purgatory. And it's much easier and much better to do it here. That's why fasting is important. Offering sacrifices, gaining indulgences, those things reduce temporal punishment. I think that's forgotten by most Catholics, and a lot of Catholics don't do penance anymore, or do very little of it, or only the bare minimum that the church requires. And sometimes I think it's just a lack of knowledge. People don't understand what temporal punishment is anymore. Or it could just be spiritual laziness or a lack of understanding of the real sorrow that's due for our sins. But as we begin this season of Lent, the church calls our attention to doing self-denial. If we've sinned, then we should be willing to do a punishment for that. We should be willing to undertake penance as a gesture on our part of true and authentic repentance. I think the fourth thing that we can learn is the importance of prayer for the deceased. Many souls are forgotten by their loved ones. And they're left, if they're in heaven, they don't have no need of prayers. If they fail to attain salvation, our prayers are no good for them. But if they're in purgatory, they desperately need our prayers. And we should pray for our deceased loved ones for as long as we're in this world. We shouldn't forget them. And I think many souls are left and forgotten in the fires of purgatory when they need our prayers and our assistance. So as we begin this season of Lent, this 40 days of self-denial, and I think it's a good time for us to reflect on how we're living and who we want to become when we leave this world. Our time here is short. And as we hear in the words, as we receive the ashes, remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. That should build humility, a recognition of our mortality, a recognition that one day we will stand before Christ. And that we should be living not just for this world and for every whim that comes into our mind, but living for eternity and living for what truly lasts.